You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports Television Network, there will be no monologue today because my feet hurt. Like Krusty the Clown once so eloquently stated, no, you know what? My feet are fine. Other parts of my body hurt. But I'm still fired up, nevertheless, man, to talk some football. Steve Merrill's going to join us. We're going to break down every wild card game in its entirety, all right? We've got a ton of trends and numbers for you. We're going to talk about the FCS championship game. James Madison and North Dakota State Bison throwing it down. We're going to kick the tires a little bit on the Alabama-Georgia game, but we'll break that game down on Monday. We're going to talk some fantasy football, one of the best in the business. Roto Curve, Ricky Sanders steps up, and then we'll talk some NFL DFS. I've got a DraftKings lineup for you, some plays of the day. All that and more on today's Game Time Decisions. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Let's welcome in Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve, Happy New Year. Always a pleasure. How you doing?
Yeah, I haven't talked to you since last year. That's the longest we've gone.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Well, we did not have a Monday show in the first like we normally would, so it has been a little bit longer. It's been a full week.
Yeah, time goes by fast, Steve. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's already New Year's Eve 2018, I think, isn't it?
Well, a full week right now without talking is pretty long, actually, because we had about how many college football games, a couple of national semifinals take place. It's been busy.
Well, we'll talk about the national championship game on Monday night. Steve will join us on Monday. We'll be breaking it down. We'll kick the tires on it a little bit, but let's jump in as far as the National Football League is concerned. Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs are the first teams out of the gate here, Steve. You know, the Titans, not a lot of people are making an argument for the Titans. One thing with the Titans, if you look at the numbers and you match up just the X's and O's and you crunch the numbers and the stats with the Kansas City Chiefs, they're pretty evenly matched teams. Yet you throw in the variables of the Kansas City Chiefs at home are very good this year. They're 6-2 straight up, 6-2 against the spread. Tennessee generally is not a very good road team. Their defense is somewhat pedestrian, but not as bad. If you look at the numbers, they're not as bad as people make them out to be. But Marcus Mariota just has struggled. But if you look at the Tennessee Titans, they really are a team that's built for the playoffs, Steve, but I almost throw that out the window. We talk about it. When people talk about, well, this team's built for the playoffs, you got to be able to score in today's NFL. But cosmetically, when you look at the Titans with Derrick Henry running the football, and I'm not sure about the status of Murray, but they have a beefy offensive line. They got a big smash-mouth back in Derrick Henry that can run the football. You know, they seemingly are built for the playoffs, but I'm not so sure they can put enough points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that jumps out to me here is current form. Kansas City obviously was the best team in the league at 6-0 when the season started. We all kind of knew that was phony. Keep in mind, Kansas City had one turnover against New England in that upset win in week one. They didn't turn the ball over in the next five games when they started 6-0. So they obviously were going to come back down to earth. They did so here over the last couple months, but they finished the season strong. After that strong start, they had a run where they went 1-6 straight up into mid-October. Or during mid-October, but then they finished strong, winning their last four games of the season, both straight up and against the spread. So will that momentum continue? Don't see any reason why it wouldn't. Tennessee, meanwhile, the exact opposite. This is a team 4 weeks ago had an 88% chance of making the playoffs mathematically. They then lose three games in a row and had to win against Jacksonville on New Year's Eve just to make the playoffs. So two teams opposite directions heading in, but they both come in with wins, both come in, you know, with decent current form because of that. I think the line looks a little high. It should be a kind of a run-based game, as you said. And if that's the case, you know, maybe at 7.5 or more, we'll see where this line hits by game day. Right now, it's sitting on 9 in a lot of spots. So I think if it stays at 7.5 or more, you can make a case for Tennessee. However, on a teaser, you know, getting Kansas City down below 3 or 2.5 is probably not a terrible teaser play either, as they do have a strong home field where they normally win.
Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs historically have been terrible in the playoffs recently, too, at least against the spread. They're 1-10 against the spread in their last 11 football games. Another number I find interesting is quarterbacks making their playoff debut generally struggle, Steve. 11-27 straight up. Last 38 times a quarterback made his NFL playoff debut. He only won 11 of the times. Mariota has played in big games before. And then you throw in the fact that Mike Mularkey, not a very good coach. You know, it's not like Tennessee. Some teams, you know, you think, you know what? They're going to throw the kitchen sink at this thing. They're going to run trick plays. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to lay it on the line. You know Mularkey's not going to do that. He's going to play close to the vest. He's going to, all right, let's run the ball. Let's punt here. And he'll end up losing by 10 points when it's all said and done playing like that. That's the way Bill O'Brien coaches, and they're always a day late and a dollar short in these big games. I sort of see Tennessee hanging around, but I can't take the Tennessee Titans. I agree. I'm putting the Kansas City Chiefs in teasers. The question is, who do we tease them with?
Well, and as you know, turnovers decide NFL games. I think one of the reasons young quarterbacks don't win their first playoff game is because it's a different level of play, and usually interceptions are what the difference are. And if you look at the interception ratio of both teams here, that would definitely concern you with Tennessee. They had a negative ratio for the season.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Alex Smith, one of the most conservative and best game managers. You know, and I mentioned how Kansas City had that 5-game stretch and no turnovers back at the beginning of the year. Not 100%, you know, fluke, because Alex Smith throws less picks than most quarterbacks in the league.
And we should note, too, we should give the Chiefs credit, or at least acknowledge the change when Andy Reid stopped calling the play, Steve. Yeah. Matt Nagy took over the play calling, I believe was against the Jets. And you remember Alex Smith threw 4 touchdown passes in that game. They ended up losing the football game. But the offense got back on track. And the offense was really good. No one could stop it earlier in the year. Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Smith, etc. Basically, the word in the NFL was, guys, that the Chiefs weren't doing anything different. But that was the problem, essentially. That the Chiefs went just a couple of 2 weeks, and we all do it as gamblers. We go back to the same team. You go back to the same play. No, no, it worked. It worked. It'll work. That the other teams sort of saw what was coming, and we're hearing this out of the Cowboy camp too, that other teams are laughing at the Cowboys on the field like they're actually telling Dez Bryant, oh, you guys are doing this now. And that is so predictable. And I like that Reed stepped aside and said, you know what? These guys know me so well. I've been in the league so long. They know what I'm going to do before I do it. How about you call the plays and we shake it up a little bit? And it really has worked for the Chiefs. Kansas City probably covers the game. It's going to be right around the number. I would tease the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm going to tease the Kansas City Chiefs with the team in this next game. Although I'm on the opposite side of who the public seems to like here, Steve. The Atlanta Falcons getting 6.5 points against an L.A. Ram team that have a lot of guys playing in their first playoff game, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, when the season began, if you'd say, hey, look, I'm gonna put a couple really bad lines in there, but I'm not going to tell you which game it is, you know, so you knew there was a couple of plays that were not real lines. And if we saw this one, we probably all think this is one of those games somebody was messing with us, right? I mean, the L.A. Rams were one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. We knew they'd be better this year, but I don't think we thought they'd be hosting a playoff game. Atlanta Falcons, meanwhile, should have won the Super Bowl last year. They blow a huge lead. And, pretty, you know, other than losing their offensive coordinator, had pretty much everyone back this year. Did you really think they'd be a 6.5, 7-point road dog against the L.A. Rams in the playoffs? I mean, not this season. So, you know,
And they've won 6 of their last 8 games. People keep talking the Falcons this, they're terrible, all that, and Sarkisian. I don't think people pay attention. They just talk. You know, they don't actually watch the games. The Falcons are 6-2 in their last 8 games. The 2 losses to the Saints, who they played twice in 3 weeks. They split that. And they lost to the Vikings 14-9, Steve. The Falcons have been playing some good football. They're just more defensive-orientated now, and they run the ball a little bit more.
Right, and it makes perfect sense that they would start slow and get better, right? Losing Sarkisian was a pretty big hit to that offense, and it might take some time. Here's the other thing, Gabe. If you look at the schedule strength, you know, NFL teams pretty much equal, but Atlanta played a slightly tougher schedule, which makes sense because they were a very good team last year. The Rams weren't. Yet Atlanta has better yards per play, offense and defensive numbers against a slightly tougher schedule. Pretty crazy.
I know you hear, oh, the Falcons offense sucks, that Rams offense. All right, let's look at the numbers, jackasses. The Atlanta Falcons, they're 3rd in the NFL. They're averaging 5.9 yards a play, Steve. That's high.
Yeah, the difference is they give up, they average 7.5 less points per game.
Yes.
That's what throws everybody off. But yards per play is a very key statistic, and you're exactly
they
right.
They set an NFL record last year. They're not going to score 35 points every year. You know, last year was an anomaly. It's like those Rams teams. They weren't like crazy, crazy high scoring like they were every year, Steve. Teams figure it out a little bit. But I don't know, like people, you know, the perception of reality, who has a higher yards per play average, the New England Patriots or the Atlanta Falcons? The Atlanta Falcons. You know, number one in the league is the New Orleans Saints at 6.3 yards per play. Kansas City's number 2 at 6.1. Atlanta, 5.9. You know, there's correlation of playoff teams, actually. Chargers, 5.9. They didn't make it. New England, 5.9. Rams, 5.8. Pittsburgh, 5.8. And then there's a big drop-off. Philadelphia, 5.5, as far as playoff teams are concerned. But this Rams team, and defensively, this Falcons team, can play as well. And they've got that experience right now. They're a confident team. I think the number's too high.
Yeah, I definitely think you can make an argument they're a live underdog, right? And not too many games do we see a seven, you know, a full touchdown underdog that we really think could win the game straight up. By the way, going back to that Kansas City game, you know, we all talk about how the point spreads don't matter, Gabe. The winner of the Kansas City games this year, all 16 games, the team that won covered. Kansas City covered all 10 times they won. They failed to cover all 6 times.
All 16.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. All 16. All right. So, and you know what? I've heard that too, that 81% of the time, the teams in the wild card, the win cover too, Steve. You and I talk about the spreads not meaning anything, but it really means nothing in the wild card. Like, so we say the spread's too high here. Where I'm going with this is, you know, and if you're betting an underdog, you got to think they're going to win the game, or they have a chance of winning the game. Otherwise, you're just hanging on to hope that, ooh, maybe we'll backdoor it. I don't think Tennessee can win the game. I think the Atlanta Falcons can win the game. I really do. I think they will win the game, Steve.
Yeah, and by the way, the Falcons, they only won without covering 3 times all year, and that was as a 6.5, 7-point favorite 3 different times. They won, but
lost
to
the Bills, lost to the Dolphins, and what was the other one?
Right, but every other time they were a favorite, they lost outright. Or as an underdog, they won straight up. In fact, there was no in-between. So, you know, once again, now the one thing that does concern you about Atlanta a little bit is they were only an underdog, I believe, 3 times this season, and they lost 2 of those games outright by double digits. So they weren't a real competitive dog, but they did win at Seattle the one time. And once again, as you said, they're playing better football here than they did early in the season.
All right, so we say point spreads don't matter, but look, getting 8.5, 9, it's bouncing around, man. It's down 8.5 right now with the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. This game's a little bit different when we state that the point spread doesn't matter. Because if you're talking about the Rams and the Falcons, there's going to be some points put up on the board, right? They're both going to score, and whoever scores more is going to win the game. The Buffalo Bills and the Jags, you're laying 9 points in a game that literally could end up being 13-10. Like, it wouldn't be shocking if it was one of these just ugly. The weather's not going to be great. The field could be a little sloppy. I mean, I know it's snowing and rainy, cold and all that in Jacksonville now, but it is going to warm up a little bit. But it's still going to be unseasonably cool by their temperatures. This game isn't going to be a track meet. So getting 8.5, 9 points is attractive in this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't want to pat ourselves on the back because we did say Jacksonville was probably the play-on team this year, but we've also said that for several decades now. We've missed it quite often.
Yeah.
But, you know, we knew they were getting better, but I didn't think they'd be 10-6, though. This team improved quickly. And what's surprising, game, is that they're just 9-7 against the spread. You would think with the 10-6 season after winning like 4 games for numerous years, they would be better than 9-7 against the number. But this proves that the public and the odds makers aren't sleeping on it because the line does look inflated, especially considering that they're a run-based defensive team. They come in here off back-to-back losses. I think that's actually a good thing. This is a team that was 10-4 just a couple weeks ago, so they're a solid wild-card team. Divisional team, I guess, but it's still a wild card game. Meanwhile, you know, Buffalo got the win that they needed at Miami, but they're now playing their 3rd straight road game in 3 weeks without rest. So that is a negative situation.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's interesting. You bring up that they lost twice in a row, courtesy of Mark Lawrence's database. I see that teams that have actually lost 2 games in a row going into the playoffs, what are they, like 14-3 or something
They're good. I know that much. Yeah, Mark has the exact numbers, but I know it's a winning play.
NFL home teams coming off of consecutive losses in the playoffs are 14-3 straight up and against the spread since 1990.
This is a good teaser play.
What, Jacksonville down to a pick'em?
Yeah. I mean, this is a textbook teaser. The problem is at -9, you really have to do a 6.5 or 7 to get it. You got to get it below 3.
You're talking to a man wearing a Buffalo Bill jersey right now, Steve.
Yeah, I tell you what, you could tease Buffalo and Jacksonville in this game and probably win both.
Tease it up.
Well, either. I mean, you're getting them up to 16. You're covering 14, which is a key number. You're covering 10, and then get Jacksonville down. I think this game lands between 2 and 16, probably.
Listen, I'll be pretty comfortable going into this if I'm getting 15.5, 16 with the Buffalo Bills. So you do an Atlanta hit. You also do a Carolina hit, which leads us into this football game, which – listen, I think Buffalo can win the game.
I do Nashville, too, don't forget.
And you do Nashville, too.
Well, I didn't even notice that. You just said that. And you're a Buffalo guy.
I'm the Buffalo guy.
Toronto, this is technically a Toronto show as far as I'm concerned. So I'm doing shows for all four playoff games this Friday. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we're as close to any city in Buffalo as you can get, pretty much, right? Yeah, like,
well,
it's a long bomb away. All right, so New Orleans and Carolina in this football game. I like the underdog in this game as well. And now we get into the numbers, Steve. What do you see with all that? Oh, it's hard to beat the same team three times.
By the way, I'm laughing because I do six shows today. I also do an Alabama show, I just realized. And they actually broadcast in Alabama and also in Jacksonville. Seriously, so that's pretty crazy. But, yeah, I think New Orleans could be the sleeper in the entire playoffs, actually, the more I was looking at this.
Who, the Saints are the sleeper, huh?
Yeah, I think my two sleepers are Atlanta and New Orleans. And I guess Atlanta's a definite sleeper because they're 7-1 in the first game.
Both of which, if they won, would play the Eagles. Or, like, they both can't play them, but you know what I mean? Like, if the
Correct.
Falcons win, they play the Eagles. If the Rams win, then the Eagles play the winner of the Saints-Panthers game. So, ultimately, Steve, your teams go through Philadelphia.
Right, and the thing there is that Philadelphia, yes, Nick Foles is a capable backup, but they're a different team right now, obviously, without, you know, Carson Wentz. And, you know, there's a lot, like we talked about last week when we looked ahead at the NFL Week 17 games, you know, there's a lot of talk that, you know, some of these teams probably would rather play the Eagles than have to go to Minnesota.
I think the Eagles get bounced. I think they'll lose to whoever they play. The Falcons, the Saints, or Panthers will beat the Eagles.
So that sets up another reason why I think you could say Atlanta and New Orleans are sleepers. I mean, Atlanta has to be a sleeper because they're the defending NFC champs and they're dangerous. But what I like about New Orleans this year, Gabe, is that they've always been a good offensive team. They've actually played some defense at times, but they've also shown the ability to win on the road this year more than just once or twice. And I think that's been the big difference. And then throw in the fact, look at the two quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Drew Brees. I mean, now Cam Newton has experience, but he didn't do much in that Super Bowl. I think there's no question if you had to choose two quarterbacks right now you'd want to have on your playoff team in the NFC, it'd be Drew Brees or Matt Ryan. So I think both of them are dangerous. With that said, though, you know, Carolina catching 7 here could cause some trouble. But I think New Orleans could be a sleeper team.
All right, Steve. So me and Steve are talking a little bit earlier than we normally do, so we don't have a number right now for North Dakota State and James Madison, unless you've seen one already, Steve. I couldn't find one yet. North Dakota State, of course, they won 5 straight championships. The James Madison Dukes beat them last year. So this is a massive revenge spot. It's a lot of hype around this football game, actually. So James Madison ended the Bison's record run of 5 straight FCS championships. James Madison riding a 26-game win streak right now. Steve, you follow this stuff and you know about the Dukes. What do you make about this matchup with North Dakota State looking for revenge here in this kickoff will be Saturday at noon, guys. Saturday
right.
at noon, Toyota Stadium from Frisco, Texas.
Yeah, that means the lines will all be out Saturday morning. You know how these games work. The sports books are very apprehensive to post them.
The number will come out, Steve, at 9 a.m., and then it'll move like 6 points.
It'll move 6 points up and then close at the same number
three
hours later.
Exactly.
Yeah, they look, you know, one book out there always puts 1AA lines up during the season, and the look-ahead line a few weeks ago was -3, and now I'm seeing North Dakota State -4. But that sometimes is not what all the sports books go with.
And
but
you know the public's
going to be favored.
You know the public's going to jump on the buys in here, too. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it getting to 5.5, 6, actually. You know, the odds makers don't want to give it away. The common man's going to think, James Madison's not beating North Dakota State. That's what the common guy's going to think, Steve. But you know all about the Dukes.
Well, here's what's crazy about James Madison. They hosted the semifinal game against South Dakota State a few weeks ago, and they opened as a 3-point home favorite, which basically means the teams are equal. By kickoff, South Dakota State was a 1.5-point road favorite the other week.
Crazy.
Now, they got blown out.
Yeah.
But they had like 10 turnovers, I think. Like the third quarter, they had like 7 or 8 turnovers.
I saw the Dukes in one of these playoff games, though, Steve, really struggle and barely get by.
The week before that, Weber State.
Yeah, that was the one, yeah.
So, yeah, this is not the best team in the country, despite the win streak. And as you said, it's funny, Gabe, North Dakota State's a lot like Alabama this year.
Yeah,
they had
you
know, their run of national titles snapped last year. Everyone kind of written them off. They have not been number one. James Madison's been number one all year. And now not only that, they get to play their Clemson, which is JMU, the team that knocked them. This has so many similarities.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to get in front of them right now. As
and
we
the
stated,
similar, too, as well. Alabama closed like 3.5.
And as you mentioned, James Madison's had a lot of tight, close shaves this year, guys, riding this
at home. And that was at home.
Yeah. So, and now you look at North Dakota State on the opposite end in the playoffs. They've outscored their opponents 135-36. They run for like 282 yards a game. You're right. This is a pissed off North Dakota State team that absolutely killed some pretty good teams in the playoffs, Steve. Like, I was like, man, I'm getting 23 points with Sam Houston. Come on. Sam Houston couldn't play with these guys. Like, they're just too good. They're going to beat. They're going to win. They're going to beat James Madison.
And by the way, you know, I follow the Colonial really close. That's my conference here on the East Coast. And the CAA was really down a notch this year. They're not the power they used to be.
Interesting. Interesting. So it sounds like we're going to bison up. It's all about the Bills and the Bisons this week, baby.
And the under's been good in these games, too. They used to play the week after the semis. Now they have this 3 to 4 week layoff for like 5 or 6 years now they've been doing this. And we've seen a lot of low-scoring games in general. Not a lot of value under 48, but these games have been pretty low. These teams aren't used to that type of layoff.
I bet you we're going to be the only show in North America, Steve, right now.
I like it.
To do a weather check.
Hey, how about this game?
I just wrote Frisco, Texas.
My sixth show is Richmond, and I wrote that off thinking there's no game. James Madison's only an hour from Richmond.
You're doing hits in where every
That's
city.
Insane. I've got six shows, and they cover the six football games this weekend. Alabama and Richmond. For the two college games.
It's not always as glamorous, Steve. Like, it's like Monday night, we'll be doing the championship game. The following Monday, we'll be breaking down some crap-ass Texas Tech basketball game.
I'm pulling a Costanza. I'm pulling the mic cord after Friday. I'm retiring. This is my 22nd year doing this, and this is the first time I've ever had six shows and six games, and that's it.
You should,
pretty cool.
Yeah, you should tweet out it's championship week for you. You know, it's like
six-pack.
Yeah, the
six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
All right, so Frisco, Texas. 57 degrees.
Yeah, they get decent weather there.
13. It might be a little windy, but yeah, weather's not going to be a factor. Okay, so what might be a factor in a championship game is injuries. And I, you know, I was sort of noticing that when Alabama was beating up on Clemson, Steve. You notice, man, one offensive lineman goes down. Oh, there goes a linebacker. And you could see Nick Saban wincing. You know, he was like, oh, you could tell it was serious, but no one really notices at the time because, oh, we're winning, we're going to the title game. But it started to add up. So the linebacker that got hurt, he's had surgery. He's done. He's not playing. He sent out a tweet, you know, God bless, good luck, and I'm done type of deal. They've got a lot of injuries to the linebacker position. They're banged up at the O-line right now. And clearly people are buying into this because it was 4.5, and now it's down to 3.5. And this is like North Dakota State. If this gets down, and I was sort of on the fence for the past couple of days, but I'm not getting in front of Alabama. I'll buy a half a point and make it 3 points if I have to, Steve. Alabama's going to beat them.
Yeah, and I'm looking at covers.com. Right now it's 256 Alabama, 254 Georgia. I mean, it's a pure 50-50 split, and that's using -4. So, the public looks pretty split on this game, and it'll be interesting to see where the line goes. The sharps probably the ones dropping it right now, or the quote-unquote sharps. You know, whether they really like Georgia, who knows. Maybe they're just trying to buy in at 4 and then come back at 3.5 on Bama. Maybe they're trying to get a 3 on Bama, you know, and then they load up. So who knows what's going on. We won't know till Monday because that's when all the square money will come in. Or maybe over the weekend. You know, people go out to Vegas for the NFL playoffs. They'll start playing this game on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Yeah.
The look-ahead line was supposed to be 3 regardless of the matchups. It's going to be Alabama-Clemson winner is going to be -3. Over the Georgia-Oklahoma winner. The fact that the favorite won there and the favorite won in the other game, it should have been around 3 still. So it's a little higher than maybe the look ahead. That might also be why it's dropping. But, yeah, Gabe, like you said, I mean, if Bama shows up with that intensity and that motivation, which I think they will, it's going to be tough for Georgia because they rely on running the ball heavily. And just keep in mind, they got a true freshman quarterback. I know he's played in some big games, but he's never been in the situation where he has to win the game. And I think Bama's going to make him have to beat him, and I'm not sure he can do that.
And I like the way Jalen Hurts looked the other night. Kid's on a mission. All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. We'll break down the championship game in its entirety with the props and all that stuff on Monday night. It's too bad we're out of time here. I got an interesting – I saw an interesting article about the Minnesota Vikings and the point spreads against everybody that they would play. And this is interesting, Steve. You know, the Vikings and Patriots, that they play in the Super Bowl, the Vikings are one-point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, are they factoring in a full 3 or 4 points for home field? I mean, that's
the
real
question,
I think.
They would have to be, right? I don't know.
I don't know how it works. I know back in the day when I actually cared and went to Redskin games like 20 years ago and they made the playoffs, I know the home teams each got a certain allotment, like 20,000 seats, and then every team got like 5,000 seats. So if it still works that way, the Vikings would have more seats than the Patriots.
That's a good point. The home fans, the season,
and then obviously locals would buy more tickets too if they could get their hands on them.
The season ticket holders get a crack at a Super Bowl ticket. It's true.
Yeah, right, there you go. Yeah, so it's going to be fascinating. We never saw overtime until last year. I think we might see a home field for the first time this year.
Steve Merrill will speak on Monday. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. All right, Ricky Sanders is going to join us, one of the best in the business. We're going to talk some NFL DFS, get you ready for the wild card.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some NFL DFS, man, with one of the best in the business. Ricky Sanders steps up and in. Ricky, happy new year, my man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I can't believe the Bills snuck into the playoffs, so that is a nice little surprise here for DFS purposes. You get a defense to target against. You know, it's a plug and play now.
You know, so it's funny that you say that because, you know, are you basically, so Leonard Fournette's an automatic play for you right out of the gate? He is cheap compared to the other big-time backs, so you don't have any belief in the Buffalo Bills defense here?
I do not when it comes to their rushing. I mean, this is a perfect setup for Marcel Darius. I mean, a revenge game. He left the Buffalo Bills to go to this team, and it's been a tale of two stories. I think you and I have talked about this before, but I mean, since he left, the team has allowed fewer than 146 rushing yards just twice, and they've allowed 4.2 yards per carry in all but three games since November 2nd. So I think Fournette, who's been kind of hard to trust, he's carried the ball at least 18 times in each of his last four games. So volume there against a bad defense. Yeah, I am willing to just plug him in here. I think, like I said, Christmas, I guess, came late with the Bills making the playoffs, but Leonard Fournette might be the guy that I just hit the lock button on this week.
Yeah, and he is. Listen, I'm a Bills fan. I'm wearing a Bills jersey right now. I thought you liked me, Ricky. You're coming pretty hard here. What about this as far as the Bills defense concerned? Would it shock you if they intercepted Blake Bortles or sacked Blake Bortles and created a fumble or something like that?
No, we know how Blake Bortles goes, one of the longest release times in the league, although it has gotten better this year, I will say that. But I still like a receiver, too, despite the tough matchup here. Like, the Jaguars are one of the stacks that I'm kind of liking because I do think they're able to dominate time of possession as long as they can slow down a banged-up LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
They're going to take out the receivers. I think Clay will be targeted heavily, but again, this Jaguars team will have the ball a lot, which means a lot of opportunities to sack Bortles, which is a good news for the defense. So, yeah, I could buy that narrative.
Todd Gurley's just playing on another level right now. The guy's, he's a beast, man. He might be the best player in the NFL right now, but he's so freaking expensive, at least in DraftKings format. I had a hard time trying to squeeze him in because, I'm like, all right, can I justify that? You're going with Fournette. Who's another running back? Give us a mid-tier guy, and Kamara's obviously not a mid-tier guy. I think Devontae Freeman has an opportunity to have a nice big game against this Rams team. But you got your McCaffreys, your Ingrams. Nobody's talking about Hunt this week. Is there another running back, a Derrick Henry? Is there anybody, Tevin Coleman at 41, mid-tier guy that we can plug in here?
Yeah, I do kind of like McCaffrey here. Just thinking about, it's not the world's greatest matchup for him. And the Saints defense is tough against backs in the passing game, but not as tough as they are on some receivers. I mean, they have two of the better cornerbacks in the league. We know about it. So I do think by default, Cam is looking to check down. I mean, New Orleans is going to know it's coming, but over 15 fantasy points for McCaffrey the last time he caught touchdowns. And he's, as of late, it's kind of a toss-up whether they go, with the Stewart run or they go to him. But he has seen, for what kind of player he is, you kind of think about him as a receiver. He's seen some heavy usage in the red zone. So I do like Christian McCaffrey there because you get the high floor as well. I mean, guy is truly a receiver.
Yeah.
So, six targets last time, I believe, against this Saints team, caught five passes. I think that could be his floor in a playoff game where they know they have to find him in order to move the ball. ball.
Talk to me about the quarterback position, in which it seems like a lot of the fantasy hipsters are going towards Alex Smith. You know, yeah. I think, and they think they're being cute with this. Oh, you know, Alex Smith. But I think Alex Smith could end up being pretty heavily owned. Jared Goff is the other guy that a lot of people seem to like. And I sat with him for like 2 days, Ricky, like on my kitchen table with a lineup not filled out, but with Alex Smith as my QB. You know what I mean? I'm looking at it. And call me crazy, but I like to have some fun with this stuff. I'm going with Cam Newton as my quarterback. And I think he's going to start running people over and killing people now that it's in the playoffs. And you look at the rushing stats as of late. He hasn't really been holding back already. You know, the old, can you beat a team three times? I think there's going to be some points put up on this board. So I ended up going with Cam Newton, and I think I might be kind of in the minority in this one. What's your take on the quarterback, and who do you like?
Yeah, I agree with the Alex Smith is going to be chalk take, and I get it. I mean, the Titans, here are the teams that have allowed more passing yards. Patriots, Buccaneers, Giants, Chiefs, Lions, and Colts. And you look at Adoree Jackson, that's a guy you want to target. But I'm with you. I mean, I think Cam Newton clearly has the highest floor of any quarterback here. I mean, likely playing from behind if you look at that Vegas line. Like you said, hard to beat a team three times. So if they have to throw the ball from down, I mean, sure, Cam Newton, not the most accurate of quarterbacks, that could lead to turnovers, but 20-plus fantasy points in three straight heading into this week. And you mentioned those rushing totals. I think it's impressive that he's done that, looking 160 and 180-yard passing in his last two games. So he's still getting it done for you from a fantasy perspective. So if you're crazy enough to play cash games on this slate, I think Cam Newton makes a lot of sense. and you also look at if you go game log hunting, he's really the only guy getting it done consistently in 20 fantasy points of any of these quarterbacks. But I think I like Drew Brees.
Ooh, yeah.
And I know that they're a rush-heavy offense this year, and that, you know, is a big 180 from the previous year. And you look at this matchup against Carolina last time, there were three rushing touchdowns from the backs. But Drew Brees was still productive, and he only threw one touchdown. And again, I mean, this Carolina team does have a very good set of linebackers who, you know, cover backs in coverage. And I know Kamara went 5 for 66 the last time. The backs went over 100 yards receiving, but Ingram wasn't incredibly productive on a, you know, per snap basis, and Kamara in the first meeting wasn't either. So I do worry that, you know, over a larger sample, that this team is able to shut them down about as well as you can do, which means Drew Brees will have to pass against a defense that allowed 1,254 yards passing and 5 touchdowns in the last month. They allowed the most fantasy points to receivers during that span. So I'm just kind of playing that trend. If everyone's going to be on Alex Smith, I really like this Saints stack, like the double stack even, with Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn, and just go all in there, and you kind of put your eggs in one basket.
You know, may my father rest in peace, but when I was a kid, he told me, he goes, I don't understand why you remember all these sports stats, but you do so poorly in school all the time. Right? And I was like, yeah, it's like 10 even, Ricky. So I remember everything, and I remember you and I talking, buddy, about Cam Newton's numbers at the Superdome. And over the years, he plays freaking well there, but he stumbled a little bit on the road there this year. But historically, Cam, and we've seen high-scoring games. Remember, they went back-to-back 41-38 there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm targeting this game heavily. If it's going to become the hipster move to go elsewhere, I think it's just kind of getting too cute. And it's kind of like, you know, passing on Coors Field in great weather between two bad pitchers.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, so wide receivers, I think this is where some tournaments are going to be won, isn't it, Ricky? You know, the quarterbacks, all right, quarterbacks are quarterbacks, but where are people going to go with the wide receivers? And one thing I find about the playoffs is other teams take away your best players, Ricky. That's the playoffs. Like, that's, you know, the strength. Okay, yeah, it's real cute. We know you've got that one play. We're aware of that. Let you know, we're going to take Julio Jones away from you. Who else is going to beat us? You know, and that's how you almost approach it. So I think some people that sort of chase the big-name star wide receivers could get burnt a little bit. So let me just throw the three wide receivers I put in my lineup. Tyreek Hill, Mohamed Sanu, and I'm big on Sanu. I stand by it. I'll bet on his props. I think Sanu is going to have a nice game. I think he's going to get in a damn end zone. And Cooper Kupp at $5,800 I slid in here just because I think he's going to get targeted, and it wouldn't shock me if he scored a touchdown too.
Yeah, I kind of like those calls. I mean, I kind of mentioned the Adoree Jackson against Tyreek Hill. I think he is a great shot to go over the top. I mean, 635 yards allowed in coverage, 5 touchdowns. I'm kind of just targeting the bad cornerbacks here because, like you said, I think Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, a lot of ownership here. And Julio Jones, I mean, he's facing a defense that gives up a lot of yards to number ones, and he's kind of reliant upon yards. But unless he gets you to above that 100-yard plateau, I mean, what good does 6 receptions for 87 yards do for you if you're spending up? I mean, you need more than that.
That's why I like a guy like Sanu, $5,600. Give me 6 catches and a touchdown, and it's bingo, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I think that Sanu pivot is a great call. And the guy that I keep coming back to this week is Ted Ginn Jr. And, you know, I don't do the narratives, but Daryl Worley's another corner who I don't think people – you know, and first look are going to try and target. But this Carolina team really has been just horrendous the last month against receivers and just passing games as a whole. You look at that first meeting, he did take the top off and scored a 40-yarder, and that was one of the 5 touchdowns that Daryl Worley has yielded. When he is targeted, a 92.4 quarterback rating. Drew Brees had a 106 quarterback rating the last time these two teams faced off. Again, very tough on backs and even tight ends. I don't think Drew Brees does a great job targeting them or he's going to look for them. But that means a lot of production to the receivers here. Everyone assumes Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas has had 2 quiet yardage games against this team. I mean, they've been below 100. So that means if he's going to get to, you know, his 280-plus yards, sure, the backs will have to combine for about 100. But there's still some production left for Ginn. And if he gets, you know, all he needs is one play for entire fantasy day, and I think he has a great shot to get you there.
Vice President of Operations over at Roto Curve, Ricky Sanders. Ricky, we got about a minute left here. Hooper's $2,900. I got suckered in. It's just so freaking cheap, man. And it's not going to take much there. But looking at the tight ends, people are going to be looking for the big names here with Kelce. Walker's going to be a popular guy. I'm not so sure anyone's really going to want Clay because they don't want to mess with that Jags defense. What about Greg Olsen this week hooking up with Cam Newton?
Yeah, don't mind Greg Olsen. I think I'm going Charles Clay, by the way.
You are, huh? 4,000, yep.
I mean,
that's who Taylor throws it to. It's as simple as that.
Yep, exactly. And the receivers don't really have much of a chance on the outside. Clay has at least 8 targets in 3 straight games. I am willing to take the chance on that sort of volume. His floor game during that stretch was when he caught 4 of 10 targets for 37 yards. And so I think by default, the targets have to funnel to him. Like you said, it's who he throws to. He's cheap. I don't think you're going to find a higher floor for a lower amount of money, really, at any of the pass-catching positions, let alone tight end.
Hey, Happy New Year, Ricky. It's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Yes, thanks for having me, as always.
There's Ricky Sanders. Always love talking fantasy sports with Ricky Sanders. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to give you a lineup that won't be as good as the lineup that he'll give you.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's get to my DraftKings lineup of the week. And we all know it's tricky this week, guys. We've got 4 games on the board. I pretty much decided to isolate the games that I thought were going to be higher scoring. And I don't think that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans is going to be a track meet. And I don't believe that the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to be a track meet. I do think we'll have some points put up on the board in the Rams-Falcons game and then the Saints-Panthers game. So let's start off at the quarterback position. Alex Smith is the cool kid's quarterback this week. He's a little bit cheaper. Yeah, you know, I get it. Tennessee give up a lot of points, points to the fantasy points to the quarterback position. They give up chunks through the air. But I don't think that game's going to be a shootout or anything like that. And while I think Alex Smith is going to have a nice game, and I think Alex Smith is an underrated quarterback, I think a lot of people are going to own him. And I don't think the ceiling is high enough. I think, you know, I'm going with Cam Newton. Let's cut right to the chase. Cam Newton. You know, you look at Cam Newton, and people are kind of down on Cam Newton. And I've been saying this all week about Cam Newton. Cam Newton's never as bad as people make him out to be. There's an overreaction with Cam Newton. And I see the same thing with Tyrod Taylor. It actually seems to be an African-American quarterback thing. It's like a black thing. It's like when a black quarterback screws up and makes a bad play, people panic. Oh, Cam Newton sucks. He's so overrated. And whatever, when Cam Newton and the Panthers go 6-1 in seven games, and Cam Newton repeatedly runs for 59 yards, 52 yards, 58 yards, 70 yards, then the people bitch. Cam Newton, man, you know, he only threw for 188 yards. It's like, yeah, but he also rushed for 59 yards at a touchdown. But that doesn't matter, right? So it's like anytime Cam Newton does anything bad, and listen, is he moody? Yes. Is he a pouty ass SOB sometimes with a towel over his head? Yes. He's like the Iron Sheik. The only one that has more towels on his head is the Iron Sheik. And God bless you, Sheik. Love you. Happy New Year, buddy. But I think the Carolina Panthers are going to show up in this game. I think they're going to win this game. And I think Cam Newton in the playoffs is going to raise his game up to another level right now. And he's going to be running people over. We all know, 44 yards to get a touchdown pass rushing? He's going to rush for like 60, 70 yards, guys. And he's going to throw for a touchdown or two. Cam Newton's going to put big numbers up. He's my quarterback. I wanted to take Todd Gurley. I think Gurley's the best player in the NFL right now, but he was $9,700. I just couldn't do it. I ended up going with Kamara. You know, Kamara absolutely murdered the Panthers when they played a couple of weeks ago. Well, what were his numbers? He put up 29.6 DK points. Caught a bunch of passes out of the backfield. Five balls. He was targeted six times. I remember that game. It was really pissing me off because I had Carolina. And Carolina kept stopping him, and it'd be like 3rd-and-8 or something, and then bam, it hit Kamara. Kamara's going to put numbers up in this game. There's going to be points put up on the board in this game. It's going to go over the number. It's going to be a higher scoring game. We need a back that's going to catch some passes, and Kamara's that guy, as is Devontae Freeman. Upset special, all right? The L.A. Rams can't stop the freaking run, all right? So Sarkisian and the Falcons are going to run the football. They should run the football. I think they will run the football. You know, the Rams gave up 4.7 yards a rush, okay? It's amongst the worst in the National Football League. You can run the football on the L.A. Rams. And you also want to keep that potent Ram offense on the sidelines. It's rare because, of course, last year the Falcons were that crazy-ass offense. But the Falcons don't want to trade points with the Rams. They're going to want to slow things down just a little bit, keep this game in the mid-20s and stuff. And Devontae Freeman's a freaking stud. Everybody talks about all these other running backs. He's going to catch a million passes out of the backfield in this game. This game's going to be a higher scoring game. I like Devontae Freeman. Let's go with Tyreek Hill. We got Adoree Jackson going to be on him. Tyreek Hill's a monster. He's been pretty consistent here. And the Kansas City Chiefs offense. And like I said, I bought in. I can live with Alex Smith being your quarterback, stacking him with Tyreek Hill. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, though, pretty freaking consistent. Back-to-back weeks, 19 DK points, 19 DK points. 11, 39, 12, 15. This is a playoff game, so they're going to have to get him involved. Tennessee actually aren't that bad against the run either. So, you know, Kareem Hunt sort of could be contained a bit. And I think Alex Smith can make some plays through the air. I like Tyreek Hill here. And I tell you what, wide receivers are tricky this week, guys. And this is my own personal opinion. All right? Am I Drew Dinkmeyer? No. Ricky Sanders? No. But I've watched football for a long time, okay? And I do pretty well in the playoffs, so when it comes to betting. What do teams do in the playoffs? What is your goal in the playoffs? You take away the other team's strength. That's the deal. You know, all these coaches are going to say the same thing. They're going to be like, man, don't let Julio Jones score two touchdowns and get nine catches. Don't let Julio Jones get going. Let's jam up Julio Jones. The New Orleans Saints wide receivers, they don't really have anybody besides Michael Thomas. You don't think the Panthers know this? And the Panthers are thinking, listen, who are they going to throw the ball to besides Kamara if we just punch Thomas in the mouth at the line of scrimmage? Bill Belichick does this. So I think you go for sort of the secondary options on these teams. This isn't the regular season where they're going to force feed the star players. Remember Julio Jones in the Super Bowl was only targeted four times or something like that. Okay? So where I'm going with this is I'm staying away from Julio Jones. I'm staying away from Michael Thomas. I'm taking Tyreek Hill, and I'm taking Mohamed Sanu. I haven't been as sure as one of my DFS picks as Mohamed Sanu as I am right now. I mean, if Mohamed, you know, if I'm not bald type of thing. Like, Mohamed, I'm telling you right now, guys, Mohamed Sanu is going to score a touchdown. He might score two touchdowns. He's going to have a massive game. The Rams are going to be so preoccupied and worried about Julio Jones. Matt Ryan threw to Sanu more than he's ever done. He had more targets than he ever has. Watch out for Mohamed Sanu, guys. And for you bettors as well, bet on the Mohamed Sanu props, the receptions and all that type stuff. Mohamed Sanu is going to have a big game. Book it. Cooper Kupp. I like Cooper Kupp in this spot. There, you know, Robert Woods is going to be the guy, but Cooper Kupp's going to be running around. He's hard to cover. He's sort of that in-between guy. He's going to get his targets, and if he can give us a touchdown, hey, all the better. Austin Hooper, man, $2,900. Not going to take much. Yeah, if he can get a touchdown here, man, that'd be nice. But how many catches do we really need to get value for our $2,900? It's $2,900 for a reason, but I don't really want to spend up too much of the tight end position. But I do have to, you know, I got to give Cam Newton somebody to work with here. And now that it's the playoffs, Cam Newton, there's one guy he's going to throw to. That's Greg Olsen. I'm telling you right now, Cam Newton's going to be two plays, the three plays. The Panthers are going to run the ball. They're going to dink and dunk to McCaffrey. Cam Newton's going to take off and run people over. And they're going to throw it down over the middle of the field to Greg Olsen. The New Orleans Saints DBs are very good. They're kids, but they're freaking good. That Lattimore kid's good. It's going to be tough for the Panther wide receivers. There's going to be easier for Cam Newton to complete stuff over the middle of the field at the tight end and dinking and dunking to McCaffrey. And my defense, the Buffalo Bills. That's right. That's right. Yeah, screw Leonard Fournette, man. The guy's rushed for more than 69 yards twice in the last 7 weeks. The Buffalo Bill defense is going to get to Blake Bortles. They're going to pick him off. They're going to create a fumble. And the Buffalo Bills defense is going to put some points up on the board. I'm Gabriel Morenci on the Fantasy Sports Network. Game Time Decision continues.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for my plays of the day. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. Got the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Boston Celtics. Celtics coming off an emotional route victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They don't like the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers don't like them. Kyrie Irving obviously doesn't like LeBron James. LeBron doesn't like Kyrie. Isaiah Thomas doesn't like Danny Ainge. Isaiah Thomas was in the building. It was an emotional night, even though Isaiah Thomas didn't play. Where am I going with this? Well, the Boston Celtics are going to have a hard time matching the intensity that they brought to the floor against the Minnesota Timberwolves than they did against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Give me the T-Wolves plus the points in a flat spot for the Boston Celtics. All right, we're going to break down the national championship game on Monday night on Game Time Decisions. And our NFL wild card video is up on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page. But with that being stated, let's not forget, man, we got the North Dakota State Bison gunning for their sixth championship in 7 years. They won five championships in a row, guys. All right, and then they lost last year. Who beat them? James Madison. Who are they playing tomorrow in Frisco, Texas? James Madison. Payback's a bitch, and the Bison are going to get it done here. The numbers are bouncing around, man. 3.5, 4.5, 5. I think it's going to continue to climb. As soon as you see a number on North Dakota State, jump on it. The Bison win their 6th championship in 7 years in a rout. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.